Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I'm your host John, and we're here to talk about Arsenal 1, Manchester United 3. Not the result we all wanted, and a very strange game. But lots to talk about, obviously. Lots of controversial decisions as well. Some interesting defending. So I'll get straight into my guests. As usual, we've got Carl with me here. All right, Carl, how you doing, mate?
I was good before the game started, but as you can probably tell now, not very happy.
Yeah, that's fair enough, mate. I think everyone's kind of feeling the same. And we also have the pirate back. Chris is back again. Welcome back, Chris. Not the result we wanted. I don't know. I think it's still me that's the jinx. It's not you. So we'll get that out there straight away.
I think really we need to address the elephant in the room called Josh Dorr, actually, John. maybe we could fill some people in on that later on. Nice to be back with you guys as usual. Hope all's well.
Yeah. And there's Danny just popped up in the chat straight away saying, I'm naked. Wonderful. I was just about to say hello to everyone in the chat who's joining us. J Rob, Javier Morelos, Stephen Edwards, Wars in a Hedgehog, Captain Wild a Second, Lazy Python, Himanshu Tanasia, Jeffrey O'Hara, all the usual crowd, everything, Ruby and everything, JV82. I'm sure there's lots more of you I'm missing, but hello to everyone. Thank you for coming in and joining the chat as usual. Tough game today. We'll jump into the lineup itself. The only real big surprise was Lacazette starting, Chris. I think we've all agreed throughout the season that this lineup is probably everyone's first choice 11 when Lacazette's in it. And it's what we all wanted today. We just didn't expect to see him, did we?
No, we didn't. As Dom put in the chat, healing hands of Darren Burgess. Man's a bloody genius. I thought Lacazette was absolutely superb today as well. I thought he was really, really good for a guy who, let's be honest, there's no way he would have been 100% after that, whether it was a tweak or not. You know what it's like, John. We're not young anymore. The slightest sort of niggle from being out in the gym or whatever, it does affect you for a good couple of days before you're right again. And when you're an elite athlete as he is, I think fair play. It struck me as a player who was desperate to play a big game, and I thought his work rate on one and a half leg was fantastic. But yeah, I was really, really surprised to see him start the game. Obviously got the goal, probably could have had another, but for some worldy saves, which I'm sure we'll touch on. So yeah, fair play to the guy. I loved him before he came. I love him even more now. So quality.
Yeah. And Carl, just to reiterate, I assume that would be your first choice lineup for today, what we put out.
Yeah, obviously we want our best players to start the game, and it was a shock to me as to everyone else that Lacazette started. I didn't have an inkling that he was going to start. You know, we kept it under wraps. You know, usually like on Friday you have these pictures from the press and with them in training, but obviously Lacazette wasn't there at all, and he kept it under wraps, which, you know, was a surprise to Jose Mourinho and the Man United team, but unfortunately just didn't work out for us today.
Yeah, so we'll jump straight into the game. And it didn't take long for United to take the lead. They had a corner a couple of minutes before that Pogba got his head onto and put wide. But first goal comes from, well, a collection of errors. We're trying to clear it. Koscielny gets it. Attempts to play the ball out to Kolasinac. And Valencia gets there first. Chris, do you just want to talk us through the goal and what you thought of it and, you know, our positioning on it and our passing for it?
Yeah, I think you've summed it up pretty well, though, to be honest, Sean. I mean, it wasn't a good defensive goal. I mean, I don't think any of the goals were very good from us defensively, in truth. It had a little bit of a whiff of that. Do you remember the Champions League game? I like to call it flag game. Do you remember when we were out of it 3-0 down in half an hour and
yeah,
there was lots of sad flags on the seats? It reminded me a bit of that, in that we sort of started like a team that were going to make an impression, take the game to them, and then bang, bang, we picked off twice and we were fighting back from there. But no, it was poor defending. You know, I'm going to make a case for the defence of Laurent Koscielny later on if we get time. I didn't think it was his best game. I'm not denying that. But people in the chat box now saying he's done and he's overrated and he was mess and utter nonsense. Just utter nonsense. I'm sorry. But, you know, unfortunately, in the world of football that we know and love, players have bad games. It happens. You know, Laurent Koscielny has had a few in his career, absolutely. But so has Vincent Kompany, and so has Gerard Piqué, and all the best in the world. You know, they have them. Unfortunately, we had one with a bad game today and another one off injured, and it affected our system. That said, when we switched to a back four, I actually thought we played better, weirdly. And I think Mertesacker in that game would have been a bad move given the pace that United had on the flank. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. And the goal itself, I mean, I didn't think Cech was particularly convincing. The ball went sort of through him. And it was a good finish. I have to give credit where due. But we were just horribly opened up. And it was a collection of errors that led to the goal. And we were always fighting an uphill battle from there.
Yeah. I really don't know what Koscielny was trying to do with that ball out there. No. Obviously, he's a player we will talk about individually after we get through the whole 90 minutes. Carl, we'll jump straight into the second goal because it's kind of similar mistake again, just a different player. Mustafi this time, not long after, just doesn't clear his lines, doesn't find a pass. He's pressured by Lingard. I thought it was interesting United played with two up front and Lingard was sort of sitting in behind, and they put Martial on Koscielny, Lukaku was on Monreal, and Mustafi was kind of left with the ball and Lingard would pressure him at times. And he did that and just lost the ball. Then, you know, the midfield aren't tracking. It's got to be said, Martial's little touch off to Lingard was very, very, very nice, little bit of play. But why are we on the run we've been on? You know, we've been playing really, really well. I thought defensively we look great, especially with these three in defence. We've been scoring goals. The team's on a good high, big morale, and we're making silly mistakes against a Man United team who, let's be honest, everyone expects to come and sit and play quite defensive today.
I don't know why anyone's surprised. We make mistakes after mistakes every single season. And, you know, unfortunately, I think Chris and I are not going to be friends after this because of the Koscielny thing. Now, I'm not saying he's finished, but I do have my thoughts about Koscielny. Going back to the goal, Mustafi, I have no idea what he was thinking. I've always got a problem with footballers who have the ability to play football but don't have footballing brains. We have an abundance of them in our squad, and I have no idea why. He has the ball. He almost turns a 360. He had so many options to... He could have passed it back to the goalkeeper. He could have just cleared it into touch. Where any other... When these quote-unquote British defenders just kick the ball into touch, we moan at them and say, oh, look, they're rubbish. All they do is just hoof it. You know, I think Ashley Williams made a career of just hoofing the ball up the pitch. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he gets rid of the ball. Ashley Williams would never have done that. And let me make this clear. I'm not comparing Mustafi to Ashley Williams. There's no comparison there. But what I am saying is Ashley Williams, a player of that caliber, would have got rid of the ball. No, doesn't matter. Just get rid of it. He wouldn't have been caught like that. And unfortunately, it's an individual error. It's a mistake. And it's a mistake that we've given them. You know, Man United didn't work hard for that goal. We literally gifted them. And you have to think of all the teams in the Premiership. How many of their defenders would make that mistake? There's not many. Trust me, there's not many at all that. I mean, let's say, but it's just time and time again, we just make individual errors. And I don't think any of our defence really covered themselves in glory today. And, you know, I don't know what happened after Mustafi after that. I don't know if he got injured or he was already injured, but he came off almost instantly because I don't know what happened there, to be honest.
Can I ask you something, John?
Yeah, sure.
Just picking up on Carl's point there about Mourinho and whatnot. Did you think it was... I thought it was quite a statement that the one team in the top six that he decided he would play against was us. Did you think that? Because I didn't feel like they were defensive. I don't want to give... I will not give Jose Mourinho credit ever. I'll give United some credit in that I thought for periods of the game they actually controlled the game quite well, particularly in the first half hour. We allowed them to, but they didn't come to sit in, did they? They did attack us.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because they're playing the two up. I thought they were quite clever, and because if you just have one guy up against the back three, the defence is going to have an easy day of it, really. And he used Lingard's energy and his pace so that he could pressure Mustafi at times, but also help out in the midfield and try and go free against our two-man midfield. So bravery, yeah, some intelligence to it as well, but also just knowing that maybe we aren't sensible, like Carl says, and just putting it into Tash at times, and that we always look for the pass. Why Mustafi doesn't clear it is ridiculous. And
especially when he's injured as well.
Yeah, like, I know Lingard's quick, and he covered a lot of ground, but he had a fair distance to go, and he gave him plenty of time. There was a maybe slightly risky ball possibly into Xhaka in midfield, but he didn't have a player around him for a good 5 or 6 yards. So there's a ball in there, or just lump it down the line if you have to. But the way they set out and making sure they always had two up, and that Martial was obviously always going to run, and Lukaku will as well, who, to be perfectly honest, his involvement, I think, in the second goal, he had like one pass in it, but other than that, he was pretty much not on the pitch for the entire game, which I'm sure made you laugh, Chris, because every time I saw him touch it, he'd go like 10 yards off him.
Lukaku in going missing in big game yeah. Shocker, who'd have thought?
But yeah, it worked, because our defence couldn't pass out from the back, and the moment that the second goal went in, I'm not sure Arsenal would have reacted straight away, but Mustafi came out of it injured. I think Steve was saying that he looked like he got like caught on his heel by Lingard as he lost the ball. And he's had to come off. So I think that changed the game. And actually, when we went to a back four, we looked much better. I think the weird thing is, in that space of like 10 minutes, we conceded those two goals. But every time we had the ball, I thought we actually looked good. And we were moving it quite well when we were pressuring United, and they weren't quite sure what to do with us. The moment we go to a back four, Iwobi comes on, and we looked a bit better. And I thought basically from that point onwards, it was all us, really, for what the rest of the 80, 85 minutes of the game or whatever was left. But two serious, stupid mistakes from two very experienced players. And it needs to be fair, it wasn't just Koscielny's misplaced pass and Mustafi's dwelling on the ball. The other players around them being out of position, Monreal getting caught, Kolasinac being too high at the pitch, Ramsey and Xhaka not reacting quick enough to get back and defend.
An exquisite touch from Martial. I don't think that's been given... Anywhere near enough credit, and the little touch,
and Lingard's finish as well from a tight angle to get it in off the post. I think the first goal you can maybe look at check a little bit and say, did you get down quick enough? But I think the second one, there's not a lot you can do about it. Very quickly, we say happy birthday to Steve. Not the result you wanted, mate, for your birthday. They always do something to annoy you, but yeah, he's in. Our Lord Hillwood is in the chat, so I'm sure that's cheered him up. We'll come back to the goals again, I'm sure. But I started writing down notes for this game. I thought, I'm going to host, so I'll do what Jace does. He actually has proper points to bring up. And it's just two goals, and then afterwards I've just got wankers. It just says wankers.
That's not dissimilar to Jace's notes, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true. I thought the attitude of the team was brilliant after the two goals. This is not the reaction we've been used to for the past couple of seasons. This was the team that we've seen for the last few games. They reacted really positively. They took the game to United. United looked like they were really struggling. Yes, they had a couple of breaks, and I thought Pogba was without the ball. I didn't think he did a lot for United, but when he got it and he was breaking forward with it, he was a real menace. Just because that stride, and it's so hard to get him off the ball when and Martial was always an option for them. But we were moving it nicely, and we had so many chances in the first half. We'll talk about David De Gea as well, who I think broke a record today for saves. But Alexis, Lacazette, Xhaka, Ramsey, I think Ozil as well, they all had chances to score in the first half. Do you put us, Chris, like not scoring a goal in that first half all down to United defensively and De Gea, or were their Arsenal players then guilty of not burying chances they should have?
The De Gea saves I put down to Josh, 100%. For those of you who don't know that the in-joke is in our Hipsters pod group, Josh Dore of this parish is known to be a good jinx for Lana's bets. And tonight, halfway through the first half, Josh dropped in the, I don't really understand what all the hype about De Gea is. And you can imagine what happened next, but you all saw what happened next. So Josh, this is all on you. But no, jokes aside, I thought they defended very well, United, to be fair. But the one thing that you can't do with the Manchester United team or Jose Mourinho team, as you'll know when he was into John as well, you can't give him a 2-goal start without having a really hard task of getting back into the game. I thought Lindelof was quite good over the piece. I thought their two fullbacks were good because they kept getting up and down. They didn't just sit in. They were a threat on the outlet. Pogba, for all of his brand Pogba irritates me, but he's a wonderful footballer when he's played in the right way. And I thought until he got sent off, rightly I might add, he was controlling that midfield area. And I thought, I just felt we were unlucky. You know, it sounds strange sitting here, but I'm not actually angry at tonight at all. I sort of just go, it's one of those games. On another day, I think we could easily have got something out of it. The key goal for me was the third goal, because at 2-1, I thought we were in it. And I didn't think we'd win it, but I thought we had enough to get something out of it. I thought a 2-2 would have been probably fair on our first and second half performances overall. But it's one of those, and it is very, I think if I had a mortgage to put on a team 2-1 down, pressing for 2-2, who are almost guaranteed to concede a third, it would be Arsenal, because that's what we do. And one thing you can't say is, you know, I know there'll be a lot of people that will be angry at the manager, because, you know, that's what we do when we lose. I thought he was right tonight. I thought he made the right substitutions at the right times, albeit I agree with you, Iwobi wouldn't have come on that early had there not been an injury. But he changed the formation and he went for it. I don't think he could have done any more in this game to go for it. And ultimately, you know, maybe the finishing wasn't completely up to speed, but particularly the two De Gea saves in the second half, there's nothing more that could have been done. I thought they were exceptional saves. The one from Lacazette, I know the second save, whoever, I can't remember who got the second shot in, was it Ramsey got the rebound where De Gea saved with his feet?
Alexis.
Yeah. I thought the first save was even better. I thought that was absolutely superb. To get down that quickly from a shot that Lacazette caught well, I thought that was unbelievably good save. So, no, it's one of those. On another day, you know, we win 4-2 and everyone's happy. So, you know, yeah, that's just the way it is.
I mean, just a couple of chances I've got written down sort of from the first half. There was Lacazette from a Xhaka knockdown from a corner. He just sort of got his studs to. He was wrestling with, I think it was Rojo at the time. De Gea got his hands on that. Alexis from the left-hand side jinks through a few players. The ball sort of bounces kindly for Lacazette. I don't know if you guys remember it in the first half. He had the ball in the box. De Gea sort of came out. He sat De Gea down. He still didn't shoot. He adjusted. He still didn't shoot. Sat another defender down and then tried to lift it. Got deflection, hit the crossbar. Got cleared out to Granit Xhaka, who then I think should have at least hit the target, put it wide. So don't get me wrong, I thought David De Gea was sensational today and certainly put his, you know, his glove in the ring, if you like, for top goalkeeper in the Premier League, if not in Europe. But we were certainly guilty of wasting chances. Carl, despite being 2-0 down, when we got to half-time, were you, not confident, but pleased at least with, besides the two obviously terrible passes that led to the goals for United, do you actually feel we actually played very well and it was sort of refreshing to see the way we came back into the game?
I was happy with our attacking content, just not our defending, because I always felt that we were susceptible to the counter-attack. I always felt that Man United just managed to get through our defence so easily. It was like 1-2 passes and they were in on our goalkeeper, and I mentioned it in our group, like, they're just cutting through us. It's a bit too easy, but our attacking content was really, really good. I felt that, you know, we were doing the right things. We were doing everything apart from putting the ball in the back of the net, which is good and frustrating at the same time, because as good as David De Gea was, you know, give him his credit where credit's due, why did we make him that good? Why is this always the Arsenal to me, to you? Why don't people just actually get in and have a shot from distance, have a shot, you know, look for the rebound? And sometimes it was too much. And, you know, I didn't go into halftime unhappy. I thought, you know what, there's a chance that if we come out and get the goal early, we can actually get something from here. Because I thought to myself, if we went to 2-1, it was going to be 2-2. Like, it was just one of them games where, you know, sometimes you have a feel for the game where When you get a goal, you just know that you're going to score again. And I felt that was going to happen. But at the same time, I just always was looking, thinking to myself, we need to just save ourselves from the counter-attack. Because no matter what, I always felt that one ball over the top, you know, and then running in our back line, as bad as Lukaku is, he's a strong guy and he, you know, he's powerful and he can get at our back line. And he did sort of beat Koscielny a few times. I'm sure we'll come into that again, but I wasn't unhappy because I did think to myself, Arsene Wenger just needs to say to them, no, just attack. Attack now. That's what you need to do. And, you know, we come out at half time and we did get an early goal. And then I literally did think to ourselves, you know what? We can actually go on and win this. If we just keep our composure, keep doing the same things that we're doing, we can actually win this. But unfortunately, what's it meant to be?
Yeah, it's very strange because if you just look at the scoreline, you hadn't seen the game, you think, oh, okay, United have battered Arsenal, and you'd look at Pogba being sent off as well, and you think, wow, they've done it with 10 men for a period as well. How good were United? But I think most people have come out of the game saying, well, they defended well, and De Gea was unbelievable, but it was all Arsenal. They were, I think, possession was something like stupid, like 80%, and we were like four times the shots. On target compared to them, but just wasn't going in today. I don't even think the manager really needed to say anything at halftime because I think the players knew exactly what they had to do and they reacted so well to going two goals down. It's just a shame that we had to put ourselves in that position in the first place. As Carl said, Chris, we came out in the second half and immediately got the goal just a couple of minutes in. Came out exactly same intensity, same pace about us, same players, no subs. United hadn't really made any changes. I don't think they ever adjusted to us switching to a back four, which was interesting. I'm surprised Mourinho left it that long. I thought he might change things up a little bit, but he didn't react and he left it. I think ultimately, obviously, they've won the game, but I think it could have cost them if things gone our way. And it came from, beautiful ball from Alexis, brilliant run from Aaron Ramsey. I don't know about you, but as soon as Ramsey touched the ball, I thought, oh, that's it, offside. The flag's going up. And then your boy Lacazette puts it in the back of the net.
I must admit, it was one of those where the world seemed to just stop, didn't it? I mean, has to say at this point.
It was a bit reminiscent of the David Silva goal against us, I thought, in the way that everyone kind of just sort of stood around and stopped and were like, what, is this okay? Okay, we just keep playing.
And proof that everyone makes mistakes in every level, because if that was on a Sunday, everyone goes mental. But it's a very, very good finish. I thought Aaron Ramsey's touch was fantastic, like real. I know Steve McManaman, who I wish he'd stop making those horrible sex noises during BT Sport. It's very uncomfortable. if you haven't heard it, if you're abroad, then good luck to you, but it sort of reminisces. He sort of goes oh every time, and it's really not very pleasant. I think he tried to say, oh, did he actually mean it? I think he did. It's a really good piece of control, and whether he meant to put it into the path of Lacazette or not, he took all the sting out of a very difficult ball to control at a very hard height. And Lacazette does what he does in that position. That is a real misconception in the Arsenal supporting community, which drives me insane. I think it drives Lana insane as well. People keep saying, he's quick, he's a pacey centre forward, we've got to put the ball over the top. No. That's not his game. He's a poacher, he's a finisher. His movement is up there with the best in Europe. He's got absolutely fantastic movement, but his business is scoring goals. He's not a player that you put the ball in front of him 20 yards and say, run onto that. You know, yes, he will work his arse off. And yes, he does have a decent amount of speed, but that's not his game. He's not all about pace. He is a finisher. And that's the sort of goal that I remember, you know, ever since as far back as probably Eduardo, we haven't had a goal scorer like him. And it's, we're a different side when he's in the team. But he took it very well. And rightly, the goal was awarded. And at that stage, I could only really see us getting a leveler. I couldn't see us losing the game at that stage because I thought we were so on top and the momentum was there and the crowd were there. And then obviously the inevitable happened.
Yeah, I'm still, every time I see the replay of it, I'm like, flag's going to go up any second. And I think credit actually to Ramsey. I know what you're saying about taking the sting out of the weight on the ball. I think he kind of looked around and he realised, no, this is like Lacazette. You know, he's not going to take the chance on his own, Ramsey, and it's best to leave it to Laka. I think not necessarily if it was just anyone else on the pitch in the middle of the box there, but if it was other players, I could have seen Ramsey trying to turn and hit that himself there. So he had the intelligence and awareness to leave it. But yeah, good finish, and obviously nothing De Gea could really do about that one. The crazy thing is that, you know, 5 minutes after that, we're 2-1 up. We've been dominant since we've been 2-goal down, really. United had a couple of breakaways, but nothing really, really clear, to be honest. But 5 minutes after we get to 2-1, I think, right, we're back in the game. We can definitely get at least get a draw out of this, maybe even win. Lingard gets put through on goal. We've got a back five who don't seem to be communicating at all at that point. He just gets slid in, and credit Petacek, who makes a brilliant save in that instance, puts it onto the post. Bellerin then walks it out. And then we go up to the other end and force David De Gea to make a save. And this is, what, 50 minutes on the clock? It turned into the sort of the last 10 minutes of a cup final when both teams are going for it, Carl. It was nuts, wasn't it?
It was really end to end, and you know, that's a cliche of football, but it was just literally one end to the other. And like I said, I always felt we'd be susceptible to the counter attack. Rather than, you know, just saying to our defenders, two of you just sit back, two of you just stay where you are, and let the rest of the team go on. Because Man United didn't have any interest in sort of coming out. They were just hitting us on the break. That's all they were trying to do. And you think to yourself, if we just move the players about a bit, like, I don't understand why we played so narrow. There were so many times where we could have just shifted the ball wide, and we didn't do that. And it's like I said earlier, we have talented players who have all the talent in the world, but they don't have the footballing brain to see what's going on the pitch. Like, Chris is a football manager, and I'm sure he can look at that team and say, well, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? You think to yourself, you're a professional footballer. You should know to do this and do that. And, you know, I'm far from a football manager, and I can look on the pitch and say, why haven't you shifted the ball there? Why haven't you shifted the ball there? And I know it's easy for me to sit here and say that now, but when you're on the pitch, you should have a footballing brain to know to do these things. And it's almost frustrating at the times. You know, we have the talent, we have brilliant players, we have, you know, probably one of the best attacking three in world football, but at the end of the day, we just don't, I'm not gonna say we don't use them properly. Today was just frustrating. I'm not mad, I'm frustrated that we could have won that game, and it was almost there for the taking, but we just didn't do the right things at the right time. You know, had it been 2-1 when Pogba got sent off, 100% we would have gone on to get something from the game. Whether it been a draw or a win, I don't know. But like I said, at 2-1 and Pogba got sent off, there's no way we was not going to get something from that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got some quotes here from Arsene Wenger about the game. I think the quality of our performance was good. We were not decisive enough, and at the back we did not start well. Even at 2-1, we made another mistake at the back that made the game more difficult. I felt at the back, our concentration was not sharp enough from the start, not dominant enough, and we were not efficient enough in the box. That's the reality. I don't know what's wrong with Mustafi. I think he's talking about the injury there. But that was it, really, today. We just didn't take our chances. We had enough to win the game. We had enough to at least get a draw out of the game. And we end up coming away with nothing, is the real frustration. There are a couple of players who are obviously going to hang their heads after the game and sort of think about what performance they've kind of put in. But I think for the most part, the team as a whole did pretty well on for, you know, 80, 85, 84 minutes of the game, something like that. We'll talk about the Lingard goal, Chris, that sort of put it out of our reach. It's so frustrating because the Lingard goal comes after, I'm just checking here, so it's 62 minutes into the game. We're 2-1. We've got all the pressure, all the ball. United are completely on the back foot. We don't need to chase the game completely. We've still got 30 minutes left in the game. We're pushing so many men up the pitch. We lose the ball. I think it might have been Alexis. I'm not sure. I know that's another subject people want to talk about. But they pull away. Quick break from United. Credit to them. Lukaku does a little spin and turn, pulls Monreal out of position, and then Pogba completely makes Koscielny look an idiot in the box, gets around him on the touchline, and Lingard is totally unmarked for a tap-in. Why are we pushing up so high on the pitch? It's not the last 5 minutes of the game. There's 30 minutes still to go. We've got plenty of time, and it's all in our favour. We don't need to push that hard, surely.
No, I don't know. I do agree. Half an hour is a long time. I do just want to give a shout out actually in the chat to Andrew Morris, who's being awfully ballsy. Andrew, when you've gone past Man City, come back and have a chat to us then, yeah? Till then, shut it. But yeah, I do think that it was a classic kind of situation where Arsenal just, we, as you rightly say, we seem to make this decision to throw everyone forward when it's just that little bit too early. We saw, I don't know if you saw the QPR game, probably not, QPR against Brentford, I think it was Brentford the other night. Charlton recently have done it as well. You know, 2-0 down with 5 minutes to go, you know, stoppage time. The momentum of one goal back changes the whole thing.
Yeah, but that's 5 minutes left in a game, not half an hour, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. And you start to think, well, you know, I'm not against chucking on the substitutes and going for it a little bit at that stage, but just stay in the game, you know, get yourself back. You get yourself back to 2-1, 3-2 with 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go. You've got a real chance. And that's when you can push on and maybe lose 4-2 if it happens, fair enough. But yeah, to go gung-ho at 2-1 with half an hour to go did strike me a little bit. It's almost like our players don't necessarily manage the game correctly at times. Some people would say that's a lack of direction from the managers. Some would say it's a lack of discipline from the players. It's a weird one. I often wonder how the situation in the ground. Our ground is notoriously quite quiet, and you know, we can't deny it. It's just a fact. When our fans get up and really go for it, it's almost like the players feed off that energy, which is exactly what you want. But it's almost like the players go, oh, the fans are actually with us. Let's all go for it. And it's like, no, yeah, just manage the game. And before anyone jumps on me, I'm not blaming the fans at all. Before anyone.
No, they were great tonight, the fans.
They were absolutely fantastic. You know, home and away, they are. But I just wonder if it, you know, it's almost like the players feed on the energy and just get a little bit kid with a new toy and go, oh, and off they go. Got a bit excited. But, you know, it is what it is. And the sad part is we've been here before. And I don't think we're going to learn. But you don't see other sides do it, do you? I was never really convinced at 3-1 that we'd have enough to get back in the game, if I'm completely honest, although we did have a few penalty shots, which we could maybe touch on. But I was never really convinced we'd get the two goals we needed. One maybe, but not two.
No, yeah. a 3-1, kind of game over, wasn't it? Even with 10 men, like, you could look at it and think to yourself, oh yeah, definitely Arsenal going to come back with... to come back and
create
two goals. No, it was just literally, like I said, to me, to you. And well, then the narrowness of our play, like Man United, they were playing right within their 18-yard box, right? There was never a time we just sort of would spray it wide. We always try to thread the ball through the eye of a needle. And, you know, again, like you said, it comes to, was it direction or in-game management? We don't know. But you're thinking to yourself, come on, who can't see that Man United are literally compact within the 18-yard box, sometimes within the 12-yard box they were. Why not spray it wide and try and get, you know, a crossing? But we just never did that.
Yeah. Sorry, I've just seen a great tweet from, if anyone doesn't follow him, you should definitely give him a follow, at JockmanAFC. Really, really good guy to follow. Does a great blog. Two stupid errors and the resurrection of Lev Yashin cost us the game.
that's a great tweet. Yeah. Awesome.
But he does have a positive thing, which I think is something we will try and bring up. It's, you know, not Wenger this time. Not too concerned because we played really well. Can't let the confidence sap. Needs to stay in the same thing we've been in over the last few weeks. Which I think is true because I think they did. The attitude of the players was right. The what was missing was the application in certain areas was the big problem. Just one final bit on that third goal, the Lingard goal. Is it just Koscielny's just given up against Pogba? Isn't that a bit schoolboy Chris just showing out to the line or into the corner flag?
Yeah, it wasn't his best piece of defending. No, I agree. And again, I wondered, like, because he was another player that went all balls out when we were 2-0 down, and it almost struck me as a player who was sort of running on empty, and just sort of went, I just can't do this. But no, I did think it was poor. Maybe we'll touch on Koscielny separately in a sec. But yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great, and yeah, I'm not going to defend. What
right, it wasn't
I was
just.
Say. I think he.
It wasn't just him, though. It was also Xhaka.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree.
You think to yourself, that ball's coming in and there is one person in the box. Why is Xhaka watching the ball and not the player? And again, and I probably, this is what, the third time I said this now, again, it's footballing brains. Like, you know that that cross can only go to one person. There's no one else that the ball can go to. But Xhaka just stands there and watches the ball roll to Lingard. Like, you're thinking to yourself, come on, like, how silly can you be? Like, you're a professional footballer. There's one person in the box. Who else is the ball going to? But no, he doesn't. He just dip in, watches the ball go. And I've got a problem with Xhaka lately. And is we might touch
I was
him.
Just going to say, like, just briefly while we're on the subject, there's a running joke in ABW that I love cock. And Cockalan, that is. Sorry, had to do that. That I'm under no illusions that Francis Coquelin is a very limited footballer. You know, I'm not going to deny that. I like to sort of play the devil's advocate when everyone's throwing insults at him. I don't think Granit Xhaka has been anywhere near much better than Coquelin this season. I don't. He's the first. I think he's a very good footballer. I'm not, you know, not denying that. I just don't think he suits the game we're trying to play. I think his decision making is poor at best. His mobility is a real worry. He seems to have got out the silly yellow cards and red cards, which is something. But if you said to me now, there's one player you can change in that first team, he's the first one I'd have out. And I think Xhaka is the sort of player that if he's in a midfield at Everton's a bad example, but a mid-table midfield, I think he looks quality. But I think at this level, at the very top level, you need to have a player, you know, who is mobile in this type of system. I just don't think it's an experiment that's going to work. I really don't. And if you could get a more mobile, agile, tackling, all action type of midfielder to play in there with Ramsey, I think you'd see more. It's just, you know, that's just how I see it. So I'm not saying Xhaka's not a very good footballer. He clearly is, but I don't think he suits Arsenal at all. I just don't. I really don't. I think he gets a pass because there are such, well, you know, poorer options behind him.
I think. I'm not disagreeing. I thought Xhaka was poor today. He wasn't the worst, but recently he has been pretty bad in his run of games. I don't think he's been the best. In his defence, what I would say is his limit is in the system you put him in. I think if he's in a three-man midfield, he's much better, and he's not protected in the system. And it doesn't make any sense why he's playing in a two, and when you've got Aaron Ramsey, who I thought was really good today, he was getting back and tackling and, you know, getting into the box, and obviously
never hides,
made that run. Never hides, always showing for the ball, always trying to make something happen. But I just don't think that as a pair works. And I think he needs to be in a free. But yeah, we'll touch quickly on the Pogba red card. I don't think there's any disagreement. It was a straight red for me. I assume you boys are of the same opinion. There was no
absolutely. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, just side note, We come on here and we, you know, we slag off referees and these sort of decisions. If he's not reprimanded for that gesture coming off the pitch, then the FA might as well just sack themselves. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, it's all the referee's fault. You know, I can't be dealing with these people that say there's conspiracies against Arsenal. Bollocks, there's not. But if you're going to find, if you're going to call out Guardiola for having a word with somebody coming off the pitch, or you're going to find divers, then you should find a player for audibly applauding a referee or visually applauding a referee coming off the pitch and clearly swearing. I mean, I'm sorry, but rules are rules. If that's one of Arsenal's players, there's a very good chance that we're on, you know, up in arms about it if we get a fine. So for me, you should get an additional match ban for that. It's lack of discipline and it's misconduct. Whether he agrees with it or not, whether he meant it or not, it's a horrible challenge and he deserved to go. So yeah.
I did like Ashley Young's tactic of asking the referee before it even produced the red, then running to tell Mourinho, quick,
he's
we need to
be
make
off. Yeah, I like that. So, yeah.
That was quite clever. But yeah, I mean, there's no disagreement. It was clearly a red, but I also thought, what on earth? I didn't understand what Bellerin was trying to do with his leg there in that position either. That was just weird. But yeah,
there's a bit going on between the two of them all game, wasn't there? There was a bit of niggle there, but yeah.
But clear red card. I think everyone agrees on that. You know, after that, obviously United down to 10 men. At that point, we just brought on Welbeck before that for Xhaka and put Iwobi into central midfield alongside Ramsey. Obviously, Pogba goes off. We bring on Giroud for Kolasinac. It's all Arsenal can do, really. He's put all his forwards on. Ozil and Alexis still on the pitch. You know, we're basically playing Koz and Monreal at the back, and Koz was getting forward as well. I think there was one bit where he got into the box to put a cross in that wasn't half bad as well. So, you know, we've thrown everything at them, and in the end, it isn't enough. The only other two incidents I really wanted to bring up in the game itself, in the dying minutes, I think 89th minute, something like that, Welbeck gets taken down by, who was it they brought on? Darmian.
Some cunt.
Yeah. clear penalty for you, Chris?
Absolutely, 100%. I thought it was hilarious that the, I think it's the commentary team tried to defend it. Nah, it's absolute stonewall. I think when you see players chop inside and get taken out, they are almost always given. And I wonder if that's almost one of those things where the referee thinks, oh, but they're always given. I can't give it. Mm. No, it was a pen. I mean, yeah, to me, there was just no denying it. I thought both were, actually. I was surprised Lacazette didn't. The only thing that stopped the other one, I'm sure you'll come to that, actually, yeah, was the fact the ball's going out of play. But no, the Welbeck one for me was clear as day.
Yeah, Carl, I mean, obviously, we had the Welbeck one and we had the Lacazette one probably a minute or two afterwards, as I think it was like 5 minutes of added time was put on. I'll give the referee the benefit of doubt. I'm not sure exactly where his position was, but I'm sure there was, you know, like 9 Man United players in the way for him to see, because their entire team was basically in the 18-yard box at that point of the match. So it might have been difficult. I assume the linesman had a clear view, at least of the Welbeck one, which surprised me what it was given. But the one thing that really kind of annoyed me, if anything, Welbeck protested a little bit, but not that much. But Lacazette didn't even appeal for his. There was one point in the game where I saw Arsenal players surrounding the referee, and I think Rojo got booked. Oh, no, Matic, sorry. They were going to book Matic, and the ref didn't book him in the end. But mm-hmm. Do you think we're a little bit weak on that, and we should appeal more? Because you look at other teams, and they do that. They surround the referee, which isn't nice, but they do that sort of thing. They're all up in arms appealing, and they tend to get those decisions when they do that.
We always have been weak like that. And it pissed me off when Steve McManaman said, oh, I don't like to see that players surrounding the referee. Fuck off. Because I'm sure when he was in Liverpool, he used to do that all the time as well. So it's all bullshit. You know, I would love to see... No, I'm not advocating our players actually just, you know, harassing the referee. But it would be nice if sometimes, you know, they would go up to the referee and say, ref, are you sure about that? Have a think about it. It's just not something that we do. We're not that sort of team. You know, we all say we're the gentleman's team, and we don't. How can I say this now? We like to play the nice game. You know, all our, just like it all stems up to FFP. You know, we like to do things by the rules. We like to do things properly. We don't do it. It stems down to the pitch as well. We just don't do it. And I'm not saying he should go all out and, you know, harass the referee and run up to him and tug his shoulder and things like that. But it would be nice, you know, to, you know, put your hands up and say, ref, are you sure? Like, come on, just give him something to think about. But we don't do that. We don't give them things to think about. We just sort of, la-di-da, oh, I didn't get it. Oh, well, let me just carry on. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's... I didn't understand it at all. I mean, Welbeck appealed very briefly and then just sort of got on, and Lacazette didn't even appeal for it. I mean, it's not his fault. The penalty should have been given either way, both of them. The other thing with it, of course, is if you get the Welbeck penalty, does the Lacazette incident ever happen? You don't know if it does, and then it's 3-2, and do you still have enough time to get another goal? And you can complain about those sort of things all day. I thought, for the most part, other than those two decisions, the referee was fine today. I didn't think he was that bad, to be honest. I don't think it'll be a talking point, obviously. And I know Arsene's brought it up, but I think the only people we can really blame today is ourselves for defensive errors and not taking the chances that, you know, we created in the game, because we had plenty of opportunities to score a goal. And yes, David De Gea was fantastic. Yes, he broke a record, 14 saves, the most in the game. In the Premier League, but there were still chances there to win the game, and we had enough players on the pitch to do it. So I don't want to concentrate too much, too much more on the analysis. If anyone in the chat box has got questions, please fire away, and we'll try and get through them all, because we are trying to stick to the hour radio show, as this is a later radio show tonight than what we would normally do. Was there anything else, guys, you wanted to pick up on in particular? Chris, you said you wanted to say a little bit about Koscielny.
Yeah.
Just talking about, you know, his performance today. I saw one interesting thing, just I don't know if you wanted to go off on it. I think it was Arsblog put it up. Perhaps playing Koscielny three games in a week at his age isn't the best thing ever. Not as an excuse for his performance. That's obviously something the manager and the fitness staff and everything need to look at, but it could be an issue.
Yeah, that's almost exactly the point I wanted to make. I think too many people are very, very reactional, and I get it. You know, it is natural that you are going to be reactional after you've just watched a game. But something that I've started to do, particularly this season, and the older I've got in my life, I've tried to doing these shows as well. I've tried not to just come on and rant and just go off on one, because it's a very easy thing to do. Sometimes you just got to sort of sit there and think to yourself and think, okay, there are extenuating circumstances to a degree. I'm not defending his performance. Again, I think he'd be the first one to come out after the game and say, you know, as the captain of the club and as the reliable, you know, he is the defender we all rely on. I think he would have said he had a poor game. He did. But when you see people sort of throwing insults, oh, he's this, he's that, you know, he's finished, he's sort of a laughing stock. He's not, you know, he's a very, very dependable, you know, high caliber centre half. There's a reason he's one of the first names on the team sheet for France, who are, last time I checked, one of the best teams in the world. So, you know, he does have a ricket in him. Of course he does, as do all of our other defenders, by the way. But the point about his fitness and that, I completely agree with what Andrew at Arsblog and a few others have said. You know, it doesn't defend a player, because if they're not fit, they need to put their hand up and say they're not fit. Completely agree. But I thought if there was ever a game maybe he could have missed, it was Huddersfield, particularly the way they play. You know, they have got Depotra and Meunier. You know, they had defenders that I think we could have managed without Koz. But, you know, that's the gamble you take. And we played him today and, you know, he didn't have his best day. I didn't think any of our defenders had Sterling days today, to be honest. I didn't think Bellerin and Kolasinac were exceptional either. And it's just sort of to step in and say, bigger point about Koscielny as a whole, maybe about the whole team. Too many people look for an immediate scapegoat. You know, they have to immediately say, oh, it's his fault. Oh, let's blame him. Let's point the finger. Just accept that players have off days. They make mistakes. We're on to the next one. And by all means, if you want to say he had a poor game, I completely agree with you. But to just come on and say, oh, yeah, he's absolutely awful and he's dreadful and he's all this, come on, have a word with yourself.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. I think there's an argument the club haven't reacted quick enough to some of the older players in our team. Well, we've spoken before how, you know, everyone wants a centre mid to come in and compete with Xhaka and Ramsey and put some more pressure in that position. And we've obviously got to replace Alexis and Ozil if they both go, which looks likely. But no one's talking about the defence and the fact that Mertesacker's retiring. Koscielny's the age he is. Monreal is the age he is as well. You know, when Mustafi nearly, you know, left the club, and we've only got realistically Rob Holding, who's a very promising defender but very inexperienced, and Callum Chambers, who we don't even know if the club really want.
You know, and you wouldn't want those two in the same defence together at the same time, would you? You want one of those in, one of them out, you know, yeah, one of them in the squad.
You don't want to expose them in games and give them bad experiences, because it can affect your career long term. We've seen that happen with other players in the past.
See Liverpool on the opening day last season, for example. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's a long term issue, and it's, you can't put it. Obviously, Koscielny was very poor today, and it's not defending him, but it's something the club need to look at. We've got a few questions here, but please, more than welcome to keep firing away. First one we've got is from Everything Rude Everything. Was not selling Sanchez a mistake, regardless of a replacement? Surely even Nathan Redmond could offer more. And sort of to follow on from that, because there's a few things. This is all around kind of Sanchez. Does Sanchez losing the ball cost us goals? That's from Loki73. Dom was very critical of Sanchez. In one of the groups, he was getting very upset, and I had a little ding dong back and forth with him. I see the usual suspects, I will say, on Twitter saying how many times he lost the ball today, which is true. He did lose the ball a lot. Carl, what do you make of Sanchez in the last couple of weeks? He obviously didn't get the direct assist, but got the assist and the assist, if you like, for today's goal. Was kind of in and out of the game, but he did give the ball away a lot. So first on him giving the ball away, do you think it does cost us goals? And then do you think not selling him was a mistake?
Anyone giving the ball away costs us goals. But the problem is he seems to do it more than most because he tried to do too much, which is very, very frustrating. The amount of times that he could have passed the ball to another player, but he beats one player and you think to yourself, oh, there's an easy pass. No, because it's Sanchez, he wants to beat another player and then try and take on a wild shot, which is, it's just very weird. I don't understand. But anyone giving a ball away will it always affect us, but he seems to do it so much. And you know, back in the day, and I say back in the day, I'm talking about maybe two seasons ago, he used to hunt down the player until he got that ball back. That don't happen anymore. He may jog towards them and that will be it. Like, he doesn't hound players down like he used to anymore. I don't know if it's a lack of caring, I don't know if it's lack of ability, who knows what's happening, but lately he's just giving the ball away and just letting it run. Do I think it's a mistake? Hindsight's a wonderful thing. If he was banging in 20 goals, anyone would say, no, we should have kept him because he helped us get into the Champions League, which is ultimately where we want to be. Selling him without a replacement would have been ludicrous. I think absolutely ludicrous, because right now you're thinking about it, who would we be starting? Iwobi? Maybe Jack, not too sure what the reluctance is to not start Jack. I know that's the time, something for another thing, but it is just, I would not have sold him without having a replacement lined up. Like, as in, you know, whoever we sell him to, you give us the money, and then the money we take from there, we give it to someone else. Because ultimately, he's still a body within the team. Is he costing us games? I think lately he's been getting away with it because he's been scoring goals. His performance has been absolutely poor. And then he pops up with a goal somewhere. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you're not too bad. You know, you think about the Everton game. He was atrocious in the Everton game. And then he pops up with goals. It's like, oh, he's not too bad. Against Huddersfield, he wasn't very good. And then, oh, he pops up with a goal. You know, against Tottenham, he wasn't that good either, but he pops up with a goal. So he's constantly doing the job that we want him to do, which is score goals. But at the same time, he's not playing well. But because I think him scoring the goals is masking sort of his bad performances.
Yeah, just to defend everything, reread everything. He did say he was exaggerating the point with Redmond. He was just trying to make a point about.
I did think he might have been.
he did say Arsenal, please don't sign Nathan Redmond.
No, no.
I do understand the point he was trying to make. Chris, just quickly on Sanchez, I've just seen a stat here. Apparently, he gave the ball away 34 times today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on this one, John, to be honest. I think it's, again, it's the blame culture. Don't get me wrong, I think Dom is not alone. And I think Dom makes some excellent points. He always does. It's Dom. But I do think it's a very, very easy stick. I think as football fans in general, whether it's, I don't think it's just an Arsenal thing. I do think we all look for reasons to blame. Alexis Sanchez giving the ball away was not the reason we conceded three goals today. End of story. Like, whatever way you look at it. And I understand, you know, if you lose the ball high up the field, you've got a turnover and there's pressure on the defence. But the defence are there for a reason, to stop the ball going in the net. And Alexis Sanchez is in the side because he is a genuine world-class player, a genuine world-class goal scorer, and a player who a lot of teams will still want. You know, Manchester City are sweeping everybody before them, and yet they apparently still want Alexis Sanchez. What does that say? In a weird way, you know, I'm championing the future of Raheem Sterling and Leroy Sané and that, because the more that they play well, the more chance there is that Sanchez will actually not have anywhere to go at the end of the season. I don't think he'll go in January, nor Mesut. Exactly what Kyle said, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I actually think Mesut in particular has really stood out as a player who's really put a shift in the last few weeks. And I think he's probably more likely to stay. I've got a weird feeling that we could get to the end of the season and both could walk on a free and not actually know where their destinations are going to be. I do have a horrible feeling that a potential new Chelsea manager could have a look at Alexis. That's my biggest fear. I think Man City, the longer it goes, the more that they really just don't need him. And I don't think he'd play at the moment there.
Yeah.
Whereas at Chelsea, there's a real opening to put him on one side and Hazard on the other. So if Conte goes, I could see that. The other sort of piece in the jigsaw is the PSG shadow still looms. You know, they're going to shift out one of two, maybe three in January, if not the summer. He's the sort of marquee player that could end up pitching up there. So equally, I genuinely wouldn't actually be surprised if he ended up signing a new 1-year deal, you know, and sticking around for another season. But it's hard, isn't it? And I completely with what Carl said, unless you have a ready-made replacement. I think if the Lamar deal had been done using quote marks, if we'd have had an agreement that the player would have signed and we had the time to do it, I think Alexis would have been gone by now. I think that's the reason.
I think that Man City deal would have gone through on the last day.
Agreed. And I still think that Lamar is on the table. There's a few other players we're having a little look at in the French market as well. So I think there's still movement possible, but until you get a deal done, you can't let a player of that quality go. You just can't.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I didn't, out of the two, if there was one who was going to go in the summer at the time, I would have said Ozil. Start of the season, I probably still would have said Ozil. Right now, I would switch. Because I'm a nice flip-floppy fan, and that's what I do, and it annoys everyone. Because I wasn't a big Ozil fan. But in the last few weeks, he's really, you know, pulled his socks up, as they say, and been really impressive. And I thought he was good again today, and he was trying to make things happen. And the kind of the annoying negative body language has turned to frustrated body language when things aren't coming off for him, which just, I like, because he looks like he cares.
He does. And just really quickly as well, one other quick side point. If you were to get Alexis to go, I wouldn't try and replace Alexis. I would try and bring in a different type of player, because I do think I still think we're very heavily reliant on him and his style.
Yeah.
And I would rather that we go out and get a really high quality midfield player. I mean, John, you know all about Marco Verratti. Imagine him in our midfield. Imagine a player of that level. I think we've got enough attacking talent, you know, in Giroud, in Lacazette, in Ozil. You know, I think Iwobi, I know he has his critics. In 2 to 3 years' time, maybe less, that player's going to be, he's going to be some player. Like, the ability is there. The thing with
I thought he was decent enough when he came on today. He made some things happen, got the ball in the box early and stuff, you know.
I think the problem is that any player that we sign is instantly going to be compared to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
To Alexis and also Ozil.
And that's why signing Lamar is not a straight swap, because he's a completely different type of player. Yes, he's got similar traits.
The same thing will happen when we sign whenever we sign a central midfield player, yep. And everyone will say, "Oh, this is Santi Cazorla's replacement."
Exactly. When they're not
a like for like player. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good question, and I do think there is a genuine interest now on whether he goes in January, Alexis, just because I do think his performances are a little bit. They're much more sporadic now than they have been. There was always a certain amount of consistency, and you always knew, okay, you might get one or two bad games out of Alexis, but, you know, for the next three or four, he's going to get goals and assists and stuff. And the gap between those are starting to get a little bit bigger, but we'll see what happens. Again, sort of kind of back on the subject of today's game, Jovi82 says, seeing our performance the last couple of weeks and today's game as well, obviously despite the mistakes. Do you see us inside the top four if we keep this up? Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I do. Again, you know, I don't want to be sort of Mr. Happy Clappy and positive jumping around the room after a defeat, but I still think we're the third, maybe is a push. I think we're the fourth best side in this league. I do. Tottenham are spectacularly falling off a cliff, which is hilarious. Sadly, they'll be back sooner rather than later, but I don't think they're a better side than we are. Champions League will take a toll on them until they inevitably tumble out in the quarterfinals. I think we're on a par on our day with Chelsea, and I still think that, you know, Conte as well as we do, John, there's a lot more to... There'll be another fallout before the end of the season as long as Conte's still there. Liverpool couldn't defend a lunchbox at lunchtime, let alone a lead. You know, they won 5-1 at Brighton today. Well done. Fantastic. They'll do that, but they'll also lose 2-1 at home to Huddersfield 1 week. So, and I don't really see any other teams there. Man City and Man United, I think, are a step above us. When I say Man United are a step above us, I think in terms of depth, and in terms of organisation, they're a step ahead. I don't think they're a step ahead in quality hugely, but Man City are away and gone. I do think we'll finish fourth. If not, we might even scrape third. But yeah, I've never really doubted top four personally. The key thing for us right now is staying in touch. Christmas period, busy time. We need to be in and around fourth, sort of back end of January and pushing on. And the Europa League, of course, will have a big say, depending on how far we go in that, as to whether we push for that or whether we push harder for a European trophy or top four. I think we can do both.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly confident coming into the season myself, but just seeing the way the league's panning out at the moment, I think we are most likely fighting for third third or fourth, something like that. I think it's between us and Chelsea for third, probably. Carl, are you top four? Think we can do it this season?
I think we're fighting for fourth or fifth. I think we're just about scrape top four if we do get it. I just think we keep making these mistakes, and every time we get on a little run, it almost seems that we just collapse. And I don't mean to be Mr. Negative, because hopefully our next game we'll go and we'll win. And we'll, I think at the moment we're reliant on sort of other teams around us, and it almost pisses me off that the fact that it's just about December, quote unquote, we're out of the title race. You know, how many times has this happened?
So's everyone, though. That's the thing, isn't it, this year? Like, everyone's
out.
Yeah,
but at least the other teams are fighting. Like, you look at Man United, and, like, yes, Man City have gone clear. 100%, we all know this, but we said this, was it last year, when they were on some silly run, and then something happened?
It's different this year, isn't it? But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they are clear, but at least Man United are second, they're up there a little bit. And it's like, Chelsea, what are we, 3 points behind Chelsea, is it? Or something,
yeah, I think so.
Silly like that. It's not much,
I think,
but
it's three or four.
But you just look at the you look at these sort of results and you think to yourself, okay, can we push on? Can we, you know, grit it out? And we're still waiting for that little patch, because it's going to happen. We all know this little, you know, we didn't have the November patch this year, but when is that patch going to happen? Because it happens every year. I mean, it'd be a miracle if it doesn't, and I'll be happy if it doesn't, but. You're talking about it taking sort of Champions League taking its toll on other teams, but will the Europa take its toll on us? Because as we get into the competition, is Azarvenga going to start using some of our more established players? Like in the second round, if we draw, I don't know, AC Milan or someone like that, I don't think he's going to go with the kids, is he? He's going to go with the first team. So I think it all depends on who we draw within the Europa League.
Yeah. No, that's fair. We're 4 points behind Chelsea, one behind Liverpool, and three above Tottenham. So yeah, that's a sort of, there isn't really, you know, United are the only sort of chasing team. I do think, however, just because I prefer watching Man City, they play nicer football, that they're going to absolutely spank United next week.
I'm going to look forward to that. Yeah,
because if United are, despite how good De Gea was today, I just think Man City will rip them apart, especially with Pogba out of the team.
Can I
fully expect all 10 outfield United players to be in their own box, just as a wall in front of De Gea?
Can I quote Loki actually earlier on, because this is a very good comment that went crudely underrated. De Gea would have saved Betamax. That's fair play to you, sir. That's very good.
Right, just a couple more questions, and then we're going to wrap up for today's show. Obviously, the guys on the main pod will be talking about this game again in depth, and we'll go a bit more deep with the analysis for it. Poor bastards they are. Last couple of questions. One from NN Guna. What can we, as a fan base, do to stop Josh from saying something to jinx the club? This is really becoming a problem.
I'm working on it. There's a lot of gaffer tape, John. I think you've got a shovel and some handcuffs there. Carlo obviously runs London Transport, so I'm sure we could accidentally get Josh lost one night in a tunnel. So, yeah, we're on this. Don't worry. We will end the door hex one way or the other. We've got enough people with enough bad intentions to sort this out.
Yeah. Here's one. It's from our very own Danny, the GFP. Last question. I'm going to ask it to Carl, though. Carl, what would need to happen for Chris to say, fuck it, I've had enough?
Arsene Wenger would have to run out on the pitch, waving his cock, chasing cock, and wearing a
cock
Tottenham shirt. Yes. wearing a cock on his head, wearing a Tottenham shirt for Chris to say, yeah, I've had enough now. And even then, he would say, well, you know, if it's another team, it wouldn't be too bad, but everyone just calm down, you know. It's only one time he's done it.
good answer. Yeah.
As long as I have a breath, I'll try and find positives. Because, you know, who wants to just be negative all the time? What's the point of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming into the chat today and joining us. I know it's... like poor result and frustrating, but I know it's weird to come out of a 3-1 loss against United and say there were positives, but I genuinely think there were positives. It's been a long time since I've seen Arsenal react that way to going 2 goals down. yeah, we lost the game. It's annoying, but we've been on a good run, so hopefully we can just move on from this one and get back to that and get back to winning ways. And we can all enjoy Mourinho's miserable face when Pep laughs at him next week and they get absolutely hammered by City. But yeah, we have been ABW Radio. Thank you to everyone in the chat box. Do remember to give us a thumbs up and a subscribe if you can. Give us a thumbs down if you didn't enjoy. Be sure to check out the pod, which is back to, is it Thursday recordings now, Chris? I think they're back to you.
I don't know when that comes in, actually. You have to ask Danny.
It'll be on the Twitter feed as usual, but I think we're switching back to a Thursday night record until the Europa League's back, so it's just a bit easier for everyone. We can get more people on. Until then, we'll see you after the next game, as always. I have no idea who the lineup is. I'll probably be here because I'm always here. But Mr. Welsh Justice will be back, no doubt, as well. I've noticed he's been in the chat box, he's swinging a banhammer. But yeah, thank you again for watching, and we will see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.